Mining joy on a joyride. Mumbai Metro Aqua Line 3. Mumbai finally has its first ever underground metro line. Currently operational till Bandra Kurla Complex, Aqua Line or Line 3 will transport us from the green tribes of RA Forest right up to Chhatrapati Shivaji Terminus of the Kasaba tax tragedy. I took a joyride this week, and that's an odd word to describe it. Cities make you eke out joy the same way as they do money, time and belonging. It wouldn't be quite right to call it FOMO, because the public transport of a city like this embraces you with zero chance of missing out. Mumbai, like some of the hardest living cities, demands that you engage with its very viscera. Even if you were arrogant enough to exist in a rich bubble, you'd have to align with the power dynamics of how the larger population lives and traverses. Mapping Mumbai. I watched my city shapeshift painfully since the 80s. The Maya Nagari is a constant struggle of money, power and people. We have to think about space differently here from how we think about it in the rest of this mostly landlocked country. At the Kalagoda Art Festival this year, Mrinal Kapadia traced the history of Mumbai through three centuries of maps. It was an eye-opener to realize that different cultures map differently. Through the eons of colonization, what we call Bombay was no more than minor land spaces eked out from in between numerous rivulets, lakes, streams and other water bodies. They were not inhabited enough or not by important enough people to plot each of these spaces. As interest in the mainland of the subcontinent grew, landing points turned into ports, which turned into villages, marketplaces, forts. It took the British to collectively categorize these numerous spaces into one location. It's really quite a marvel that it is not just a city today, but a metropolis, one of the busiest ones in the world. Mumbai is a really young city if you consider it in that perspective. A chameleonic living thing that just emerged from the sea and, as people flock to it, continues to grow. Yesterday, Netra brought me the fact that the city was only divided along its current state lines as recently as 1960. I mean, my parents were already around by that time. It's really, really new. How then do we define a city that doesn't have a history? When you compare it to the others in a country that spans centuries? The shifting Mumbaikar identity. I say the people. Everyone here is originally from elsewhere. As Indians, our histories are older than the cities. So Bombay is defined by the movement of people to its core. What better way to think about this city than by the way people move around within it? And the city is changing. Bombay ka pura naksha badal raha hai. In 5 years' time, it will be unrecognizable from our current understanding of it. Mumbai's identity as a city began with the British establishing textile mills to stabilize the impact of the Swadeshi movement. They built cramped quarters to house the thousands of workers needed to run these mills. The chawls, that would have become synonymous with Mumbai culture. Eventually, they also laid down train tracks to bus in workers from further away. And thus, a city began. The fact that it stayed that way for decades tells me growth is not really linear. Human beings shoot up and out in the adolescent years. Maybe this is Mumbai's adolescence. Too long has the city been defined by employment centers of wealth in the South End, and millions of plodders flocking in from as far away as is humanly possible in the most strained of facilities. Delhi media glamorized the struggle as Mumbai spirit, while Bollywood sold fantasies about the one-minded cog in machine life of a Mumbaikar. All that maximum city deserves. As a Mumbaikar, of course, I'm furious that my city, the financial capital, whose people generate a third of the taxes of this country, was the last Indian city to get modern public transport. The first elevated metro started only in 2013 from Warsaw to Ghatkopar. Having been an Andheri girl my whole life, I still can't get over the relief and joy that it is possible to traverse from one end to another of the city's biggest suburb in a mere 24 minutes. It's almost enough to overlook all the ways the system fails us even after being so long overdue. I just never learned that such facilities should be par for the course for a city that works so hard and produces so much profit. That these facilities were also made available with no relation to the greater needs came to my consciousness in 2009 with the long delayed Bandra-Worli C-Link opening. That overhyped connection didn't change life one bit for the majority of Mumbaikers. All it did was give Bollywood some nice looking aerial shots at the cost of choking up both Bandra Reclamation and Worli Sea Face. The metro is changing the face of this city. This is why I was so thrilled when an actually useful and much needed line finally opened up connecting Andheri, the biggest and most centrally located suburb of the city, with Dahisar, far out north. Dad, with all the cynical perspective of an outsider to the city, observed that it didn't have the technological finesse or even the capacity to fulfill what it was built for. I was just so relieved. Andheri to Dahisar on one unbroken line in air conditioning. Can a Mumbaikar even dare to dream of that? And finally, another arm has opened up. This time an underground track, Mumbai's first. I wasn't sure what to expect, but I do know now that a joyful investment in any public transport is a hallmark of a true Mumbaikar. This is the Aqua Line, or Line 3, currently running from RA to Bandra Kurla complex, but eventually slated to extend up to CST. There is a whole bundle of extra special for me personally with this line. I grew up in Marol at a time when people as nearby as Mithibai College had not heard of it and would ask if I lived in the city at all. RA was Sunday morning walks, the almost jungle to my kid eyes. And people would say, "Aaj Bombay ja rahe hai," when they were going to South Bombay, as if where we lived was not good enough to be considered a part of the city. It was also as if we barely deserved to even be allowed into the hallowed airs of Sobo, and if at all, only through the arduous struggle through potholes, unlit roads, and a very long and packed train journey. And you're telling me it's going to be RA to CST in one go with AC and no switches? Unbelievable, man. The connecting points. I boarded the line at Marol Naka. Connecting points often become bottlenecks in this city. So I wanted to see how it would look at the intersection of the Aqua Line and the Blue Line. The historic connecting points of Mumbai are Dadar Railway Station connecting Western Line and Central Line, Wadala Railway Station connecting Western Line and Harbour Line, and Ghatkopar Railway Station connecting Central Line and Harbour Line. Each of these stations has designated tracks for the two lines it handles. Tickets can be purchased for via routes, so commuters don't need to queue up each time they switch. Signages are reasonably clear. And since it's been around for a century, you could just ask a passerby and you would be directed accurately. The first Blue Line metro also brought us connectivity with the railway network at Andheri station and at Ghatkopar station. The names of the stations were retained from the railway network. The Blue Line metro plugs right into Ghatkopar railway station. So you just ride eastward, alight, and walk out to turn left or right to go north or south as needed. Andheri didn't quite fit in as seamlessly since it is the middle of the line and also a really crowded location. The metro station is still the narrowest and smallest of all I've seen, despite it being the busiest in the whole city. For months after it was opened, commuters had to trickle out of a narrow staircase onto the main road before squirreling into the dingy ticket counter entrance of the railway station. Fortunately, the railway station has moved its entrance and ticket counters to a spacious bridge and the metro station connects to it over ground now. The railways and the metro ticketing still functions differently though. More is the pity. the later connecting points are not quite as seamless, and for a pretty silly reason. The blue line connects red line at Western Express Highway Station. Awkward name, isn't it? And yellow line at DN Nagar Station. But because Reliance runs the blue line and MMRDA runs the yellow and red lines, the designated connecting stations stand separately and they have different names. Till now, if you were travelling from Goregaon East to Ghatkopar, you would use the railways and switch at Dadar station. But now, you may take the metro and switch at Gundavali / Western Express Highway Station. It gets even more convoluted with the red line. Want to get from Infinity Mall to Sakinaka? You are always going to need to go through Andheri, of course. But wait, you're going to have to pass three different stations called Andheri, and it's not because it's the biggest suburb in the city. First, you ride the red line to its end point, which is called Andheri West. Then you switch over to the blue line by crossing a bridge the width of a road, and miraculously the station is now called DN Nagar. Get into the metro and try to ignore the bustle at a metro station called Andheri. And if you should happen to get down by mistake, don't get swept into Andheri railway station, because that's not going to take you anywhere near your destination. I've grumbled about this long and hard and been merely pacified by a common metro card that can be used on all three lines. The catch? You can only purchase it on the yellow and red line stations, and you can only refill it there. I'm thinking of all the school debates I sat through that argued against privatization of key infrastructure. They were right. Marol Naka has arrived. Well, here's where the blue line meets the aqua line, on Andheri Kurla Road's pavement. I can't see a way that they will connect an overground line with an underground line, and it looks like they didn't bother. The picture shows you a short hop, except within the entrance on the left is an escalator that only goes upwards. The pavement is too narrow to put a staircase as well, so they put it further down. Clearly, this is meant for people commuting from South Bombay into the Andheri extremities. I was a bit surprised to see the geographic snobbery reversal. But I corrected myself, realizing it's likely about shoddiness rather than any planned effort. I wandered out of the hitherto familiar Marol Naka metro station, blue line, asking passers-by how I could get to Aqua Line. At the base of the staircase, I paused and looked at the line of small shops. The shopkeeper closest immediately pointed to his left. I laughed and I said, "People have been asking you for directions all day." He nodded with the merest hint of a smile. It's not helping that these two disconnected stations on two different lines are both called the same name. Still, we soldier on. The journey still lies ahead. I suppose there is some joy in the fact that the shopkeeper was not a lecherous lout, Delhi, a lazy bum, Kolkata, an abusive asshole, Chennai, or a passive-aggressive freak, Bangalore. Efficiency of expression and message is my city's own special flavor. The Marol evolution. I still can't believe that the shabby semi-jungle area that grew up with me is now a bustling uber metropolitan location. This very signal where two metro lines jostle to offer connectivity, I would pass on my way to school every day. I was a little afraid to look in that direction because there was what my mother described as a shady looking hotel there. And this to my young self meant bad things happened there. The fire station across the road from this chalk has gone too, severing my last link with the valiant protectors of all life. The village life is a thing of the past. Will anyone care that a century-old church once stood there? A fishing village sprung up around it? Hundreds of lives were laid to rest in the graveyard? Many thousands were conceived, learned to walk, and eventually fly, as I did? History is always passing. Like graffiti, mine is being overwritten too. Oh well, onward bound. What new wonders or horrors waited underground? For my love of this city, I have never been below ground here. And oh, it's really not a great feeling. Yet, capitalism tries hard to distract us from the soullessness of no windows with imposing staircases, endless escalators, shiny vestibules, and neon lights. take a look at all the screaming angles and monstering metal lines. In a few weeks, the mayhem of the city's population will render you unable to take it all in. The metro will have absorbed you into its fiber. The Aqua Underground. Anu, who accompanied me, was bemused by my sheer excitement about this joyride. Unlike with my last metro joyride, I noticed several others partaking of the same, albeit with much more dignity and silence. Maybe it's not that Mumbaikers feign introversion. Anyone that rides the metro is openly impressed at the facilities that the city has never had. It's a quiet wonder, a hesitant, am I really allowed this too? I saw families with babies and little kids. I know when they grow up, their parents will tell them they rode the metro line when it first opened up. And it will be with the same pride that my parents tell me about their weekends spent riding the train into Flora Fountain, memorizing station names and perusing street books in their new home city. Mumbaikers, we are very aware that we are creating history and we want to document it for those that follow. To be honest, I don't know if I'll be able to use the Aqua line much. If this had come up 25 years ago when I still lived in Marol and was just beginning my adulthood, I would have immersed in it never knowing any different. But now I've accumulated fears and health issues. Claustrophobia is never far away, having forced itself through my big city lifestyle in the gaps that COVID created. I've kept the rising temperatures and the need for enclosed air conditioning at bay by staying close to windows. Line of sight, line of survival. But underground, there's nothing to latch onto. It could be any hour of the day or night, any kind of weather, and in any place in the world. The Aqua line brings me no new discoveries like the blue line did about Andheri's greenery, or the yellow and red did about the power politics. And instead, I feel all semblance of belonging and identity wiped away as I enter the vestibule. Netra remarked that it looked exactly the same as every underground train station in the world. Why does that have to be so? Cities are testament to the fact that one logic and unidimensional science does not work. Design solutions have to work around local lives, not demand that they be erased to fit one size. For example, why the single line escalators that make even a young person's head spin? Could they not have split it into multiple levels with visual angles and spatial breaks? And how about that endless corridor? I bet it's even longer than the Dadar station overbridge. Now imagine being in a tunnel three times its size with solid walls on either side, no doors, windows or pillars on either side, just one blind turn at the end. That is what the route from the base of the escalator to the track is like. I don't know if my finances will permit me to ignore this transport line altogether. And I also don't know if my health will let me step onto it. Riding the Aqua line. The inside of the metro looks exactly like the other lines we've seen so far in Mumbai, albeit with aqua-toned accents. It remains to be seen whether this line will also cram in the kind of advertising that the Reliance run Blue Line does. It won't make a difference on the windows, but I do hope they steer clear on the blaring audio ads that the Blue Line favors. I can't imagine anything more torturous in an underground dungeon-like setting. I'm not sure if the Aqua line repeats the practice of the blue, yellow and red lines to have doors open only on one side through a single trip. It was possible to plan it that way on above ground tracks, but the train line has stations appearing at random on either side, necessitating the crowd lurching constantly mid-trip. That's because the railway stations came up and expanded in unplanned and mostly reactive ways to the population growth. Our plan was to ride from Marol Naka to BKC and then back all the way to RA. I joked at one point that it would be bizarre if the metro also kept stopping randomly between stations like the railways did. Yes, my humor got rather dark underground. I couldn't stop thinking about calamities I'd seen filmed on underground trains in movies. Right from Sandra Bullock handcuffed to a rail inside an runaway train, Speed, to a bio bomb hidden inside a baby's milk bottle, Kahani. And then curiously, The train slowed to an awkward halt and the screens flashed to the message that I hope I'll never have to see on the Aqua Line. Emergency message. Kripya laksha asudya. Tantrik karnyamude honarya vilambadal ami dilgir ahut. Please take note. We apologize for the delay caused by technical difficulties. I was only relieved to see that the train had stopped at a station and the doors were open. So I hopped out and burst out into the rush or mayhem of seeds. I did take two metro rides back home and I didn't anticipate how exhausted I would be with this. After all, I hadn't walked all that much or done anything physically grueling. But as Ramesh pointed out, the switching of lines, figuring out where to turn, how to go is very wearing. Over a year into the red and yellow lines, I still struggle to understand which exit to take because the stations all look identical within as well as the same from every angle. That just got even more complicated with an underground line where one doesn't have the sights and sounds of outside for reference and zero thought to what it's like being an actual human being riding this transport line. I want to cling to the idea that maybe once the line is fully operational and the crowds pick up, the city will make it its own. I pointed to the efficient shopkeeper as an example of the Mumbai personality. The underground station feels cold but also unsafe with blind turns, disorienting inclines and exhausting lengths. But like Dadar feels crowded in a uniquely Mumbai way, might the life that fills these cold spaces warm it with the city's spirit? I can only hope.